So the Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and beginning at the 10th verse.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over, and he said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of Christ. Lord, as we wallow in a world often full of sin and darkness, we ask that the light of the kingdom may begin to illuminate our own hearts and minds and convert us into agents, together with Lois, of the bringing and ushering in of that kingdom till it come to its fullness. For we ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please sit? All right. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on this, the Sabbath day? When I was a school in Yorkshire, in a school called Millbridge, it had a lower school and an upper school. In the lower school, I'd come to the point where I was top of the tree now, one of the big lads. Then came the awesome moment of the transfer from that into the upper school. Straight away, it's like snakes and ladders, isn't it? You're relegated to the bottom of the pile, and you go into a playground that's 20 times bigger than anything you've ever seen before. There are giants lumbering around in there who are enormous. And what you have to do, or what I did, was stand against the wall at the back of the playground, pressed to the wall in fear and in anxiety. And all the other people who'd come with me, 10 yards between us, were all pressed against the wall as well. And then Kellett and his boys came. They started at that end, roughing the kid up there. 1, 2, 3. I'm number 4. I'm going to cop it. Will they ring the bell before he arrives? Now, he works his way down the line. He roughs old Parker up, takes the sweets that his mother's given him for the rest of the day, and numerous other things, knocks me about, pushes me back against the wall, carries on to the next sucker, who's the next one 10 yards down. But the years go by, don't they? And gradually, the flower begins to blossom. You prize yourself away from the wall. You come out into the recreational playground. The Sabbath, isn't it? Recreation. You come into this playground that's now represents the Sabbath from all the swatting of arithmetic and all the rote learning and all the rest of it. And you're able to mix into that. And the teacher, I was a monitor at the time, told me that I was to take the big school handbell, come out and ring it at the appropriate time for everyone to stand to attention and then file into school. So I appeared at the top of this slope with the big handbell. And as I looked down from my vantage point into the playground, there, right in the centre of the playground in the distance, I could see Kellett and his boys surrounding John Mills. They surrounded him and bullied him because he was slightly overweight. I don't know what it was. It was like righteous indignation. I put the bell down, and that righteous anger overcame my natural cowardice, and I ran down the slope into this circle and rescued John Mills. And I said to Kellett and his lads, it was an overstatement, but I got away with it, and if you come back to him another day, I'll punch your lights out. And they backed away. Ought not this John Mills, this boy recreating himself in the playground, whom Kellett has pestered and bullied for umpteen years, be set free from that bondage in the period of recreation and play in the playground? That's exactly the principle that's taking place here in the gospel reading that we heard. Jesus is preaching in the synagogue on the Jewish Sabbath, the day of liberation. And into it comes a woman. He can see her at the back behind the grill where the women stand. And he calls her forward. That's bad enough to bust those kind of regulations. He calls her forward and he says to her, "Your ailment's finished. I liberate you. You're free from bondage. You're healed. You're made whole." But the leader of the synagogue, quite rightly, he's got justification for this. He says, "Hang on a minute. If it were a matter of life and death, yes, we could break the limitations that are imposed on the Sabbath. But this isn't a matter of life and death. She's been like this 18 blinking years. Can't we wait till tomorrow morning to do it? So you can hang on, can't see another 24 hours. And Jesus says, "No. No, she can't. No, she can't, because you have also rabbinic regulations for domestic animals. When your animal is thirsty, you can go and untie it. You can go and forage for it. You can bring food and water. You can lead those animals to water. How cruel it would be to leave that animal without food and water on the Sabbath day, which is God's day of creation and recreation. How inconsistent then. If we're enabled to do that for a beast, we can't do it for a fellow human being. No, ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on this, the Sabbath day of all days?" And there's a different tone in Jesus' voice. Because in the gospel reading, the Greek word for "this ought to be done," necessity, is the same word that Luke uses for the divine necessity of the crucifixion. It's only through that crucifixion that the gap between your goodness and mine and perfection is filled in, our sins forgiven, the gap filled in by the activity of God in Christ. The same divine necessity now applies to the woman who's in bondage in the kingdom of darkness. Set her free. It's the same freedom of the cross brought to reality in an instant in front of our very eyes. That's why it's got to be done. It doesn't profane the Sabbath. It consummates it. Because here, in the mythology and the picture given to us of the sin and disobedience in the Garden of Eden, in the eating of the apple, God says, right, from now on, you'll have to sweat for all that you want. You're going to have to labor on the ground. You're going to have to toil. You're going to have to work. Women will be in pain during labor. All this is inflicted. But on the Sabbath, I give you freedom from that work. What better day then, if we get freedom from that, to have freedom from the rest of the impositions put on us by Kelet and Satan. Satan, that picture, is the power that stands behind it. But it's Kelet, Idi Amin, Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin. These are the actual physical representations of it in the world in which we live. And you come across it every day. This kingdom of darkness. Have you got the bottle to challenge it? Sometimes it's dangerous to be a good person. You can go down to Kelet and he gives you a good hiding. Not releases John Mills. It's happened to me many a time since. The good hiding instead of the success. So that's the picture that's put for us here. And what we're going to do on the 26th of September, it's a suck it and see day. I want you to come here, and there's a thing I want you to try out. We're going to have the opportunity of the healing ministry within our normal service, okay? Like today. If it were happening today, well, we couldn't happen today. We'd have to clear you lot out of there, but I don't know where we put you, somewhere. What we do on that day, when we come up for communion, we're going to come up to the altar rail, and as you come back, if you want to, don't have to, but if you want to, you can come in here into this memorial chapel, and whatever you want to be cleansed of and healed of, you can be prayed for in there. There'll be people to pray for you. Or you can be coming on behalf of someone else. You're the presentation of their need. They may be somewhere else, and pray for them. And then when you're finished, you go back to your place and the service carries on as normal. And there's a little questionnaire for you to fill in. Suck it and see. We want to know what your opinion is. It isn't foisting anything on you. But think about it. Because this process of healing that I've just described fits in with the normality of our service. Lois has just been baptized. Baptism is a healing. What baptism says is, the normal desires and powers that overtake my life when I'm under the cosh, I'm going to be able to resist them and cleanse of them in Christ. I am now part of Him. I am a new creation. I've been healed in that sense, and the capacity for me to grow and unwind and fill that and become the person that God created Lois to be, I am going to become. And long after my mum and dad are dead and everyone else is gone, I'll still be here holding the flag for what is true and honest and good. That's a healing. We've done it in the service. No one balks at that. Then we've confessed our sins. And we've been absolved of them by the activity of God in Christ, giving us a clean sheet. Healing, wholeness, new beginning. Nobody balks at that. Then we're going to come forward and we're going to receive communion at this altar, the body and blood of Christ, the blood and of Christ, the wine and the bread. No greater sacrament of healing than that, to be reconciled to God, to sit down and eat with Him, share a meal with Him, which is what it is. So in that moment, it's all a part of healing. This will be also. But when we look at that healing, there's a couple of ground rules we need to be thinking about. And it's this. I'm going to tell you a story now. When I first met Edwina, about 300 years ago. No, it's 42 years ago. Thank goodness she isn't here. She's at church down in Southsea near Portsmouth this morning with my daughter. But so I can get away with this. But she's not a really good teller of jokes. I'd say she's got a German sense of humor. I hope there's no Germans here this morning. I say she's got a German sense of humour. But she told this great joke when we first met. It was before the time of political correctness, so you'll have to go with this, okay. And it was that there's a fella, it was a healing session, and the guy was out the front on the stage, and over there, there were two sort of wings or screens. And he said, who'd like to be healed? Come on, don't be shy, come forward. So this guy on crutches, he hobbled up, and he came up onto the stage. He said, right, you go behind that screen. Then there was a guy with a speech impediment. He came up and he said, would you like to be healed? He said, yes, please. He said, right, well, go behind that screen then. So he went behind that screen. Then he turned to the fella to this screen and he said, right, You're now healed. Throw out one of your crutches. Come on, throw it out. So this crutch landed in the middle of the stage. He said, right, throw out the other crutch. Nothing happened. Throw out the other crutch. He threw it out. Then he turned to the man with a speech impediment. He said, man with a speech impediment, speak. Silence. I command you, speak. And a voice said, he's fallen over. Is that a failure? I'll tell you what is a failure. You can have a cantankerous, mean, ungenerous, lousy old bloke who breaks his leg and goes into St. Richard's, and through the grace of God and the skill of the surgeons and the kindness of the nurses, his leg is completely healed and he comes home and he's still a cantankerous, miserable old buffer. Nothing's changed. That's restoration, not healing. He hasn't grown to be whole. And when we're ill and sick, maybe when we're inflicted with a disease that threatens even death, there's a battle goes on in our minds, in our hearts emotionally, a struggle. Why me? Am I going to escape this, or am I going to die? I want to live more years. Is this, am I going to recover from this, or will I be hobbling around for the rest of my life? But in it is a learning curve. In it is a positive. In it is something that can present to us the possibility as a human soul to become whole. So let's go for it on the 26th. What better day would it be than when we're all gathered together on the Sabbath here? And the other thing is, when I went back up that slope and picked the bell up, the end of playtime was delayed by 5 minutes because of messing about with Kelly in the middle of the playground. I rang the bell. Everyone went in 5 minutes late for work, but they had 5 minutes more playtime. And the picture is of the kingdom breaking in. Instead of one day in seven, there's 5 minutes added on, then 10 minutes. One day, it will fill the capacity of all of the 7 days. Now, are you and I going to be able to find that kingdom grow in us? And have we got the bottle and the guts and the capacity to go out and be agents and ambassadors of that kingdom, to bring wholeness, healing, hope to a darkened world? Because healing would be changing from hating to loving, changing from wanting the exaction of a penalty to being able to forgive, to be able to move from revenge to mercy. These would be the indications of the coming of the kingdom of God. And let's not be like the synagogue leader who said, no, we don't want this to happen in our midst, in this chapel and all the rest of it, as part of the normal activity of God. Let's not do that. Let's say to ourselves, what I am going to do is look to that prayer of Christ that he taught us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or as in this episode from Luke's Gospel, as Jesus put it, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who's been held bound for 18 long years by Satan, should she not be freed on this, the day of recreation, the Sabbath day? Amen.